Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are broadcasting live from Nashville, Tennessee. We're at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention this week, and it's been a lot of fun. We've been meeting a lot of people and having a lot of special guests on the program. And today we're excited to welcome to the program Todd Starnes, an award-winning journalist, commentator, author, and radio host. Todd has a brand new book out called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? So I wanted to read to you from Psalm chapter 33, verse 12, says this, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we could take that and twist it a little bit, turn it, and say, in keeping, you know, in consistency with the scripture, cursed is the nation whose God is not the Lord. Deuteronomy 28 gives us the blessings and the curses. And the Lord says, if you follow me, I will bless you. This was his promise to Israel. But if you don't, if you turn away from me, there will be curses. 14 verses for the blessings and 50-something verses for the curses. It's as if God is giving us a strong warning with the curses. Hey, do not quit following me. And here's the great thing about the Lord, and you find this all throughout Scripture. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. That's in the last book of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi. That's in the first chapter of Zechariah, which is the second to the last book of the Old Testament. And God wants us to repent and return. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, "Repent therefore and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Hey, do you need to be refreshed today? The Lord says refreshment comes when you turn from sin and self and you turn your life anew and afresh completely over to him. And when you do that, God washes white as snow and he brings refreshment to your soul. You know, I tell the church this often, and I tell myself this often. You know, we're all tempted with sin. And any time you follow that temptation, whatever it might be, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, any time that you do that, what are you doing? You are taking a trip to the pigsty, because sin always leads to the same place. It leads to the pigsty. And what do you find at the pigsty? You find a tremendous sense of lack. You find just a place of no peace and no joy, and you're eating pig slop, and you just say, life can't get any worse, and how did I get here? You got here by your own sinful, selfish choices, and so you have to leave the pigsty. And as the prodigal said, I will get up and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And he got up and left the pigsty. When you and I do that, when we repent and return, then we find mercy, we find grace, we find forgiveness, and times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Well, we have Todd Starnes. He was a little bit behind when we started the program, but he is here. He looks fresh as a daisy. He's been my friend for years. He came to First Baptist Texarkana probably 7 or 8 years ago, something like that. Todd, do you remember?
It was a long time ago, but I will say this. Every time I drive down the interstate heading to Dallas, I honk my horn in your honor as I pass the Texarkana exit.
Well, you're going to need to call me and stop in and let me buy you lunch or something like that. Todd, it's great to have you on. You're always a pleasure and a blessing to be around, and I love seeing you at the conferences and things like that. So you look great.
Well, you do as well. And you know how it is around here. You can't get from point A to point B without getting sidetracked.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So my apologies.
No problem at all.
And you can tell I'm not a long distance runner. So I got to take a breath every now and again.
Okay. So, Todd, a lot of things I want to talk to you about. And just to get our listeners up to speed, because I don't know too many people who don't know about Todd Starnes, but a lot of people know you from Fox News. That's when we got introduced to you. Fox had a major meltdown, I guess we could call it that, starting with Bill O'Reilly and Rupert Murdoch and all that. Did you get caught up in just the total change of the guard over there?
I think so. I was, one of Roger Ailes' guys. So, when he was booted from the network, I sort of suspected, my time might be, limited. And I was blessed because they gave me a contract renewal. But I think there was some, I think every time there's a changing of the guard, there's a change in ideology and a change in focus. And I think that's what we are seeing at Fox. And there are good people there, and I loved my time at Fox News. But I think the challenge is that they really forgot who brought them to the dance, as we say back in Tennessee. And they forgot that the bulk of their audience happened to be people who go to church, who are Christians, who believe in traditional American values, and who believe that God created male and female. And now it's sort of a cultural free-for-all at Fox News, and that's one of the reasons why people are moving to places like Newsmax, where they're getting, a lot of Christians are getting a fair shot in the news coverage.
Well, Todd, that makes me think of Cracker Barrel. When Cracker Barrel made their decision, however many years ago it was, were they throwing out Duck Dynasty? They did something like that.
Yeah, they started serving. Well, yes, they threw out Duck Dynasty, and I actually write about this in my new book.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
So they banned Duck Dynasty, and they also started serving plant-based sausage, which is unedible. And so then they had to start serving booze, and I think that was because they were serving the plant-based sausage.
That's tofu barbecue, isn't it?
But again, it's just this idea of why would somebody unhinge themselves from their moorings, right? Their foundational beliefs of serving, fried chicken and biscuits. And, and it's a big problem in the culture.
Well, it's just, it's insane. And so when did you leave Fox News? What year?
Oh, wow. This was, 2019. Can I just tell you, Jeff, Pastor, what the most disappointing part of all of that was? So at Fox, when they end a contract for a talent, the suits show up and they escort you out of your office. And it's like this huge dramatic thing. And you're walking. It's like last man walking. And
you're Jim Baker being paraded to the car, covering your face. Not like that.
Okay, yeah, that's a bit too far, Pastor. Come on now. I'm waiting and waiting, and nobody showed up. I didn't get the I was going to Facebook Live it. I thought that would have been so cool. So I just kind of walked out like it was another day at Fox. I'm like, wow, that's kind of disappointing.
Well, you knew that was coming?
No, and not, I didn't. We were actually, they had offered me a new contract, and so we were kind of in the throes of the contract when Pastor Jeffers made the comment, about the Democrats worshiping at the altar of the God of Child Sacrifice, which was a brilliant line, I thought. The bosses didn't quite think so. And
it's true.
So the good news is every time I'm in Dallas, Dr. Jeffers feels bad for me, so he buys me dinner. So, so I blame him. No, I'm just kidding. But so it was really interesting because while all of that was happening, I was had the opportunity to buy a news talk radio station in Memphis, which is where I'm from. And as part of the contract deal, my agent said, if they do this, they're not going to let you own the radio station. You're not going to be able to do that. So it really, within a series of a couple of weeks, my contract was not renewed. And I just picked up the phone and said, let's do the deal on the radio station, and went to Memphis.
Are those normally one-year contracts?
Some are. I was always working under a three-year contract. But again, there's even with a three-year contract, there's always this sense of unease. And, what happens 3 years from now? So, I was blessed And it was great to get back home, though. And I didn't realize that until I got back to Memphis and really just being around family and, you know, getting back to church and things of that nature. It was good.
Okay, so Todd, for those of us who don't know your world, especially at Fox, all the sexual harassment suits and the Roger Ailes thing, I said Rupert Murdoch, he's the owner. Ailes was the one that ran everything.
Mm-hmm. He's
the
one that created it, yeah.
He built it, right?
He built it.
Okay. Was that a shock to you when that came out, that there was so much sexual harassment taking place?
It was, because I never saw it. And I was in a place to, you know, I was, you know, sort of in the middle of all of it, but I never saw the things that were happening. So I was not in those rooms. So I don't know what happened. But I think it was a shock to a lot of people. But again, I always tell people, there's a movie by Will Ferrell called Anchorman. Mm-hmm. The reason why people find that movie funny is because that really is the way things were in the newsrooms back in the 70s and 80s. It was sort of like it was basically like a frat house. And it's not that that's, you know, permissible or that's the way it was. That's just the way it was. So, you know, clearly times have changed. And I'm not sure some of the old school guys maybe got the memorandum.
Yeah. Okay, Todd, in the news world, because we have so much fake news. Yeah. I think President Trump is the one that came up with that phrase.
Fake news.
Yes. But we have that everywhere. And it's hard for the listener, the viewer, to know who's giving me the right stuff. Where does a news person like yourself that wants to be truthful, where do you get your information?
I think it's important, always important, for people to know where a journalist is coming from. At the radio station I own, KWAM, we are a conservative worldview, conservative Christian worldview. That's our driving force. So everything we do on the air is going to be flavored by that. We're going to be approaching those news stories from that perspective. That doesn't mean we're not going to be fair and balanced, because I think that, you know, both sides need to be heard. Let the listeners, let the viewers come up with their own determination. That's how Fox started. The problem is really on the news consumers. We've gotten lazy. We only go to one or two news sources, and mm-hmm. I think it's important. You know, I read the New York Times. I read the Washington Post. I also read Breitbart, and, you know, I read The Blaze and ToddStearns.com. These are resources, and so on our page, you're going to get both sides of the story. Mm-hmm. But you know, again, I'm an opinion guy, so I can also insert my opinion into that. The bigger problem, though, Pastor, is that we're starting to see, especially on X now, this sort of evolution on the in the of basically doing fake news as well. And so it's really hard for people to figure out, okay, is this real or is it not? Mm-hmm. And so in some cases, if a story's too good to be true, we always triple source it. And I think news consumers need to do that too.
Well, it is difficult. I know with X, I'll see a story or a headline and think, okay, I want to retreat that, but I got to be careful because I don't want to pass something along that's not true. And some of these satire accounts, well, they're funny, but it's like, well, that could be true.
Sometimes it is. You're like, whoa, what's that? So, yeah, it's, you know, my shop, we tell, and we've got about 1.5 million, you know, people on our website every month. And we always want to make sure, we don't like to do the clickbait. So it's like, you're not going to believe what Trump said.
Right,
click
right.
here to find out. Right. We're going to tell you what Trump said. If you want to read the story, you can click on it. If not, you can just keep scrolling down. But I think one of the things that disappoints me about news in today's era is that you have, back in the day, you would have these 1,200, 1,500 word stories that were really giving you context. Mm-hmm. And now it's, you know, news consumers, they want something they can read in, you know, 25, 30, 60 seconds, and that's it. And so you're only getting a brief glimpse of, you know, what's happening. And that's really, I think, hurting us in things like...
Talking to Todd Starnes, he has a brand new book out, and Todd is a great... in addition to a great radio host, he's a great author, award-winning journalist and commentator. But his new book is called Twilight's Last Gleaming. Here's the subtitle. It's a question. Can America be saved? That is a good question. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We are broadcasting live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, at the... Opryland Hotel. It's a place, Todd, where you can get lost. Can you not?
You can, but I just follow the smell of bacon and biscuits, and that gets me to where I'm going.
Well, we're going to be right back after the break. Don't go away. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives. So be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to my friend Todd Starnes, toddstarnes.com, award-winning journalist, commentator, author, and radio host. His brand new book is called Twilight's Last Gleaming. It's out in March 19th, I think, Todd. Is that right?
March 19th.
So, Can America Be Saved is the subtitle. It's a question, and that's a good question, Todd, because, you know, as Christians, we know that God is the God of hope, but when you just look at the circumstances, you would think, hey, we're at the Red Sea, and unless God parts the waters, we're dead meat.
I get that a lot from our listeners, and they freak out. And I'm an optimist. I truly believe that America's best days are still ahead. The question is, what are we going to do about it, right? We live in a society where young people are being taught in public schools to rely on the government, let the government handle things. Mm-hmm. And that was exacerbated during the China virus pandemic. Mm-hmm. And my greatest concern coming out of that pandemic was not the actual disease itself. It was our reaction to it. We, you know, the solution was the government says, let us take away some of your rights and you're going to be safe. And the warning sign for me as I was, and I write about this in the book, the warning sign for me was when the churches started to shut down. You know, the government came in and they said, will you shut down your churches? You know, they didn't tell churches to shut down. They asked them because they can't because of the Constitution. So the churches, many of them willingly surrendered their constitutional rights. Right. And don't get me wrong, there's no, I fault no one for being cautious because no one knew in the early days right. what this was. But when you're talking about 2 years, at that point you have to say, what's really going on here? And it looked to me like this was the opportunity for the government to see, okay, can we shut down these churches?
Right.
And when you do that, what happens? The churches, they stop being salt and light. And in many cases, the churches have become neutralized in the culture war. And I think that's what we're dealing with now, the aftermath of that.
Mm. Well, I know that somebody told me in California, their church was really connected with the local government, and the government asked the church, hey, we really don't want you to open. And they were loving their neighbor, were being a good, you know, good right. citizen. And they were shut down for over a year and a half. And then you have John MacArthur and Jack Hibbs and said, stick it in your ear in a nice Christian way, but we're going to have church. And if you don't like it, I mean, that's just the way it's going to be.
When you look at what's happening here, it is very clear to me that we are actually had to read the Communist Manifesto. And when I got to chapter 2, I realized, wow, we're not dealing with leftists or progressives. We are dealing with communism here. Mm-hmm. And we are watching the rise of communism. going back to the 1940s and 50s, when Ronald Reagan was then the head of the Actors Union, the Actors Guild in, mm-hmm. in California, and the Red Scare was mm-hmm. they were in the throes of the Red Scare. Even Reagan understood how the communists were infiltrating, and it was very deceptive, coming in through entertainment. So they were basically feeding communist beliefs and ideas into the programming that was being fed into the homes of millions of Americans. And that's why it was so dangerous, because they understood, wow, this can be a very dangerous tool, you know, if the communists are given control.
Well, I tell people this all the time. You know, the devil is not just a liar. He's the father of lies, and he's a master liar.
Yeah.
And a good liar can tell you something that sounds a lot like the truth. They're not telling you something from left field, because then you would recognize, well, that's not true. Of course, in today's world, Todd, and I know you talk about this, Jack and Jill ran up the hill and came down gender neutral.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of these titles are pretty funny. That would have been, you go back in time 30 years, people saying I'm a man trapped in a woman's body or whatever, they'd be considered crazy. And nowadays it's just, oh, you're so enlightened.
Go back 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's how rapidly the culture is changing. And the reason why is our public schools are the engine driving this change. A lot of parents do not understand what's been happening in the classrooms. The pandemic, if you're looking for a silver lining, that really opened the eyes to a lot of moms mm-hmm. and dads when they were forced to pay attention. And they're like, wait a second, you know, why are you teaching my kid, you know, that, you know, they may need to be wearing a dress or, you know, overalls or whatever. So it's a big problem. But that goes, again, what is the root of the problem? In this country, there's no such thing as absolute truth anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, Oprah said, well, we all have our own truth. Mm-hmm. But nobody really ever asked the question, so what happens when Oprah's truth conflicts with, you know, Pastor Jeff's truth? Mm-hmm. Whose truth takes precedent at that point if everybody has their own truth? Right. And now we know the answer. It's literal chaos in our culture.
Yeah, definitely. To speak to the attendees yeah. of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And Todd, I know he has a quote in your book and endorses your book. And so tell us about your relationship with him.
So it actually goes back before he even decided to run for president. One day I got a call at my office at Fox, and my secretary came in and said, the president or Mr. Trump is on the line. And it turned out to be a secretary. And she said, Mr. Trump has read your column. I'd written a column for Fox. She goes, he loved the column. And I said, well, please tell him. I said, thank you. And she said, well, he thought that it would be cool if he printed off a copy of it and he was going to autograph your column and send it to you so you could have it framed. And I'm like, wait, what? And sure enough, the next day, a courier arrived, and there was, you know, my column printed out on a printer, office printer, and he had that, you know, iconic signature with his gold nameplate. And, you know, of course I'm having that framed and I'm sure. putting it in the office. And so that's really how it started. And I was not a Trump supporter in that first race. I was actually a Rick Perry guy. And I didn't know Rick Perry couldn't debate his way out of a paper sack, but he's a great man, though, right?
He's got 3 points, Todd. I can't remember the third.
I can't remember the third. It's a good one. I can't. You'll just have to elect me. But then I was Ted Cruz and then Trump. And really, for a large part of the administration, I was sort of iced out because I was really critical of Trump on the campaign trail. Mm-hmm. But you know what? New York City. He met with a lot of pastors. James Dobson was there. A lot of the evangelical leaders. You were there.
Yeah.
And I sat and listened to the promises he made. He delivered on those promises, and I respect that. And I, you know, when you take away all the fake scandals, and we now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're all fake scandals, mm-hmm. when you take away all of that, if that had not been there from day one, Trump would have been reelected in a landslide.
Okay, so I have maintained this when it comes to this election. And I mean, it's no big secret that Donald Trump is, Erwin Lutzer said just the other day on the program, you know, Donald Trump is King Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, he's very enamored with himself. You know, so it seems to me, if I love the country, I would have paved the way for DeSantis to be the candidate. He doesn't have near the baggage that Trump does. He's a lot younger. I mean, he's good-looking guy, beautiful family. He's got a lot of things that just look presidential. Weigh in on that, Todd. Why do you think he didn't do that?
So a lot of people are very upset at Trump because he, you know, of the tweets and all that kind of stuff, and I get that. But we've seen what a great orator gets you in Barack Obama, right? He said a lot of stuff, but he said nothing.
Right.
And nearly brought down the country. And quite frankly, I think that we are still dealing with Barack Obama, you know, running the Biden administration from the shadows.
Sure.
This fundamental transformation of America that he promised. But with Trump, he was the one candidate that we could not, that would refuse to sit down for an interview. President Trump is on my show every other month. I flew down to Mar-a-Lago, interviewed him for the book, and we sat in his office for nearly 2 hours for a conversation. And I think I got a pretty good idea of who he is. I think, look, Trump represents the American dream to a lot of people out there, mm-hmm. right? And I also think that the president, when it comes to his faith, probably reflects the faith of a lot of people out there in this country that maybe they don't go to church on a regular basis, mm-hmm. you know, but they have some sort of a relationship with God. I was curious about Ron DeSantis because everybody a lot of people in the evangelical world say, oh, well, DeSantis is the guy. Okay, well, you judge Donald Trump on his faith, his relationship with God. What's Ron DeSantis's relationship with God?
Yeah, I don't know. Is he Catholic?
You see, that's the thing. Nobody knows. And nobody wanted to answer that question within the campaign itself. And I don't have a problem with that. But again, if you are telling me, you know, and there are a lot of religious leaders that were friends of mine who completely shut down communication because you worship at the altar of the Trump mm-hmm. golden sneaker.
Right.
No, I don't. You know, I want to be able to live in a country where I don't have to go to an underground church. Right? Is there you know, can prevent that from happening? Yeah, I'm going to vote for that guy. I'll vote for, you know, Nikki Haley if she would be able to guarantee that.
Yeah, I don't think she's
going to. Well, not really.
Do that.
Just sorry.
Okay, so Todd, how would you respond to the issue of people saying, well, Trump's just using Christians. He's just using evangelicals. He doesn't believe any of this stuff. He just figures like abortion is an issue I can take and get a lot of support. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, well, it's politics, and that's just the way politics goes. Ronald Reagan made a very calculated decision back in that loss in 76, made a calculated decision to reach out to an untapped voting demographic called the moral majority, and reached out to people like Jerry Falwell Sr. and Pat Robertson. Had it not been for evangelical Christians being courted, we would not have had a Ronald Reagan presidency. So, you know, going back through history, I think really Reagan's presidency kind of transformed that and really helped elevate folks. You know, Ralph Reed, for example, good mm-hmm. friend of the program. And those individuals, I think, are getting the issues we are concerned about to the forefront.
Okay, so 2 Timothy 3:13, I go back to this verse a lot. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. In politics, you have deceivers, and then you have those who are deceived that think, well, I'm really doing something good.
Right.
So I would imagine in Biden's administration, you have some loyal people that think we're doing good for the country. To me, you have a better situation now than we were 4 years ago.
I think that's a fair assessment. And again, you know, a lot of times elections are based on big issues like the economy or crime. You know, a lot of people are not getting out to the ballot box to vote because they're a Christian and, you know, they want a candidate whose values align with theirs. We're not seeing that. You're not seeing many Christians getting out to vote. And I think that's the big problem. We've got to get more Christians out to the ballot box. Now, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but mm-hmm. we've got to, you've got to engage your responsibility as an American citizen. The great Adrian Rogers, the pastor at Bellevue Baptist Church, said that we are to be
The conscience of the nation.
But we are to be silent. Hold on. No, I'm going to get it wrong. But anyway, the idea that we're supposed to just be quiet little lambs. No, we're not. We're supposed to roar like lions. That doesn't mean we're supposed to go out and burn down city streets. But we've got to engage the political process. And that's what Adrian Rogers said. You don't have to turn your church into a political platform. But you still have to be a place where you can discuss the big issues of the day and provide a spiritual context, a biblical context to those issues. That's what our founding fathers did. A lot of, you know, David Barton wrote a book about this. Christians in, or Americans would go to church on election day. They would hear a sermon and then they would go cast their ballot.
The election sermon, yeah.
That's it. So,
well, I know I've talked to Bill Federer about this and others. The issue of abortion is a defining issue. And some say, well, you can't be a one-issue voter. I think when it comes to that issue, you can be a one-issue voter.
I agree. And but there's another component. It's really not a but. There is another component of this. And there is a political part of this. And the issue is communications. You know, I know there are a lot of people talking about Republicans need to tone down the abortion rhetoric. And I think that is a bad move. It's not a matter of toning down. It's a matter of refining how you're communicating the issue to voters and also understanding the political climate. For example, in Kansas, they had the very first vote after Roe v. Wade was overturned. And there were very good people that were telling, you know, the pro-life community, this is not the time to have this vote because this is a hot issue right now. And look what happened in pro-life Kansas. It was crushed. I mean, that was a devastating defeat. So it's a matter of timing and it's a matter of communication, but we cannot water down the pro-life message, and we cannot remove it from the party platform.
What do you think, Todd? At Rick Scarborough, you know who Rick Scarborough is.
Good man.
You know, he's always at the forefront when it comes to election time, and I've been a friend of his for many years. But he made this statement in 2020 with Trump, because a lot of pastors were having trouble because of the tweets and because of just the bombastic rhetoric and all. He said, we don't like what Trump says. We like what Trump does. And he does do what he says he's going to do. How do you see that in 2024 for pastors?
I think Rick is a brilliant guy, and I think he gets it. Yeah. And I think take a look at the long game here. What is the ultimate goal? We're looking at the fundamental transformation of our country. Who can stop that from happening? Mm-hmm. Who can stop the government from going after the churches? When you look at that and look at the lineup, Donald Trump is the guy that's going to do that. I truly believe it. So, I think for pastors, talking about the issues and saying, hey, look, you know, these are the big pressing. And what are the issues? Immigration, number one issue, illegal immigration. Number two, crime. And number three, the economy. Those are the big issues. And you know, I think there's room for that kind of conversation in the church house.
Well, Trump obviously gets it between what's right and wrong, law and order. I mean, he gets that. I don't know if Democrats get that until they get attacked, and then they don't like that.
And then they're like, well, why is this happening?
Yeah, like in Austin. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my friend Todd Starnes. You can find out more at toddstarnes.com. The brand new book is called Twilight's Last Gleaming. It's out in March, March 19th. Can America be saved? Great question. And God is the God of hope. And so as we repent, as we return to the Lord, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the book. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're broadcasting live from Nashville, Tennessee at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. It's hard to say that three times fast, but we have Todd Starnes, our good friend, ToddStarnes.com, award-winning journalist, commentator, author, radio host. The list goes on and on. And Todd, you preach quite a bit in churches around the country, don't you?
Well, I speak. I give the view from the pew.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun.
Well, when you came to our church, people loved you.
I love just meeting people. And March 3rd, I'll be at First Baptist Dallas, and that's really the launch of our nationwide book tour. So we're heading out to California, speaking at the Reagan Ranch to students out there. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
How cool. And you are on the radio, is it 3 hours a day?
We do 3 hours a day, noon to 3 Eastern, and then I do 3 daily commentaries, 60-second commentaries, and then at 5 o'clock Eastern, I host a Newsmax TV show, Monday through Friday.
Good night.
I need more coffee.
That's a lot. Well, the book is called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And so some of these chapters, the chapter titles are funny, Todd, I got to say. So we talked about a little bit about Jack and Jill ran up the hill and came down gender neutral. And I like this title. I miss Aunt Jemima.
Yes, I do. Yes, I was eating my politically correct pancakes, you know, because you get out of the Kroger and like, where's Aunt Jemima? And Uncle Ben, you know, it's so crazy when you look at this attack on values. And there was a big fight a couple of months ago. You might remember the story in Iowa where the guy tore down the statue of Satan and all the leftists got up in an uproar about that. And I'm sitting here going, wait a second. These are the same people that have been tearing down statues all over America. That's okay. But it's this idea of embracing who we are. And good, bad, it's our history. We can't whitewash our history. You know, we've got to learn from it, because if we don't, we're going to repeat that history. And in Memphis, they literally tried to dig up, and they didn't try, they did. They dug up the body of a Confederate war general who had been buried in a park because they said the presence of the dead body triggered people. So they literally dug up the body. It's unbelievable what's happening in this
country.
Okay,
so if we go back in time, we were talking about this just the other day, some friends of mine and I. So the movie, I think, Blazing Saddles came out in 1974. I think it was 74. Yeah. Okay, you had that. You had the Dean Martin roasts that were popular in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of racial humor in there. Nobody got upset at that.
All in the Family.
All in Family. Yeah, it's like you can't say those things. And we didn't think twice about it. Now, I'm older than you are, but we didn't think twice about that. It was just kind of nobody got offended.
So it's just us Christians and conservatives hanging out this morning, right? So we can, I wouldn't say this in a broader audience, but we've got a problem within our group, and we don't have, a lot of our fellow Christians do not have a sense of humor anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the left. And I think that's a big problem nationwide, is that we've got to be able to laugh at ourselves a little bit. We've got to be able to have fun. And that's what I try to do with the books, infuse a lot of humor when it's appropriate into some of these big, you know, culture war issues of the day. And if nothing, for example, I tell people when I'm talking about the whole transgender movement thing and this absolute truth, because that goes back to absolute truth as well. I always tell people I'm Todd Starnes and I'm trans-slender, right? So, I mean, that, you know, I may think that I'm a skinny guy and can fit into the skinny jeans, but the reality is, it's not going to happen, Pastor.
Did you make that up? That's a great line.
It actually came from one of our radio staffers over at KWAM in Memphis, but he let me borrow it.
Oh, gosh. That is so good. Okay, so here's a crazy chapter title. Jerry Lynn from Georgia Schools, Todd on Demon Rats.
Yes. So we take a lot of calls from our listeners, and we have a lot of fun listeners. And she was calling in one day, and she doesn't call them Democrats. She calls them demon rats. And it was a fun chapter. We get so much feedback from our listeners around the country, and it's really amazing. I think the show is almost cathartic, because people, and like, for example, we have a lot of listeners in Oregon. And it's nice for them to know that there are other conservatives out there that are fighting the good fight. And it's really, we say that my radio show has really become a front porch for the country. You know, we're just pull up a rocking chair and let's talk about the crazy issues of the day.
Right. Okay, so Todd, if you pull out your crystal ball, let's say we have another 4 years of Biden. I don't know how we survive another 4 years of that. I don't even know if Biden can make it to the finish line for 2024. I mean, he's going downhill fast, it seems like. Somebody asked me a few months ago, they were talking about From His Heart Ministries, and they said, where do you see this? Where do you see it, the ministry in 5 years, 10 years? And I said, well, I could see myself in jail for speaking the truth in love. How about for you? Because you would be, they'd come after you quicker than they'd come after me.
Well, they could, but I own my own radio station now. We got a call one day from an angry listener. I want to talk to Todd Sturgis' boss. I said, hold, please. And then I picked up the phone again. This is Todd Sturgis' boss. Can I help you? And honestly, it is a major concern. And this is why the AFR network is so vitally important. Odyssey, the third largest radio chain in America, was just purchased by George Soros. And the shocking thing about that is a lot of talk radio stations are owned by Odyssey. And you wonder, and you have to wonder, that George Soros will in fact try to influence, or at least his son will try to influence, the political ideologies and the viewpoints coming out of those stations, which is why, you know, radio networks like AFR become a lifeline. It's also why NRB is so vitally important, because collectively we have power with lobbying in Washington to protect what we do on the radio, AM and FM. Of course, you know, AM is under attack right now. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important for us to be engaged as Christians in the political process, so that we can protect ourselves.
Okay, a guy like George Soros, so evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You think he's a deceiver, deceived, or both?
I don't know. I don't know his heart. I just know what he's been doing, and it's very dangerous. And he wants to silence people of faith. He's made our cities more dangerous. We have a George Soros district attorney in Memphis, Tennessee right now. Police are literally re-arresting criminals who have been set free, and they've got ankle monitors on, and they're committing even more crimes. He has had a major influence in destabilizing the country. And why is that? Again, you're neutralizing the churches, you've taken over the schools, you've got crime, insane crime across the country, you're destabilizing the country. A destabilized country is a very easy country to conquer. And I'm not talking about with tanks and missiles, I'm talking about a takeover from within. Mm-hmm. And that's the danger zone that we are in. And I believe alongside, you know, you, that we are dealing with a dangerous election. This is a dangerous election. This will determine where we go as a country. And it could, you know, we've got to get out the vote.
Well, Todd, I've maintained that unless we do in-person voting, where you show your ID and it's paper ballots, where you can audit that, make sure that that's legit, how does anyone have any sense of confidence that this is a legitimate vote?
President Trump said this at the town hall, the Fox town hall, the other night. We have to flood the election places with voters. We have got to get out the vote. We have to get people out there. If we can get 40% of evangelicals to the polls, we win in a landslide. You know, I go back.
Even if they're cheating.
Yeah. We have to get so many people to the polls that they can't find enough dead people in Chicago to vote to cover the seriously. I mean, it really is that simple.
But now with computerized voting, you know, they've shown with those machines, I can't remember the name of the company, but you know, that you could manipulate that and you could make it give you whatever result you wanted.
I think the problem there is that they just did not have the evidence they needed to fight this in the courts. And you know, that I think it confused a lot of people. A lot of people, it's just like, okay, it's almost time for the new election. Are we still talking about the old election? Mm-hmm. I think at this point we have to say, moving forward, let's focus. You know, what is more important? Saving the country, I think, is more important. And that reminds me of a story I wrote about in the book. There's an obscure story about Ronald Reagan, and he was in the throes of the Cold War. It was chaos in the culture. And if you remember those days, you know, we didn't know if the Russians were going to nuke us. I mean, it was crazy. I was in junior high school back then. And Reagan, his father-in-law was not doing well. He was nearing the end of his life. Lowell Davis, a renowned neurosurgeon, who was a non-believer. Mm-hmm. And so in the throes of all of this chaos, Reagan is sitting down in the Oval Office. He pulls out four sheets of paper, and he handwrites a letter to his father-in-law. And he says, the love you have for your wife is beyond anything I have seen. It has been so inspirational. And he talks about how that love affair really encouraged his relationship with Nancy. But he said, Lowell, I know of a greater love that you do not have and you need. And he wrote in this beautiful letter, the plan of salvation. And he shared the gospel message with his father-in-law. Now, we don't know the outcome of that story. Mm-hmm. But we do know this, in the throes of the chaos of the world, Ronald Reagan knew that the most important thing was a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that, I believe America can be saved. And that's ultimately the message of this book. It's really not a political book. It's a book reminding people about who we are and who we can be as a people.
Amen. That gives hope for sure. With Ronald Reagan, I loved him. You know, he was asked a question in one of the debates about being born again. And his answer was, we never used that term. He was Presbyterian?
Presbyterian, yeah.
Okay, did you ever read what led him to a personal relationship with Jesus?
His mother was the spiritual leader of the house when he was growing up in Dixon, Illinois. And that really flavored his beliefs. So I think he was one of these kids who grew up. His mom was taking him to church, Sunday school, and he grew up in the faith. But I think it was ultimately when he was governor and then moving into the presidency when that faith was really solidified. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, going back to Reagan, I mean, there were things. No president's going to be perfect,
right?
But I think Reagan understood the importance of faith in America. And he also understood this. William F. Buckley did as well. And Buckley and Reagan, I think, some of the fathers of our modern conservative movement, they understood that the fight against communism was not a fight against a political opponent. It was a religious battle between good and evil. And that's how Reagan fought communism and saw it as an issue of this is about us. This is about good versus evil. And that's how we fought communism. And that's how we have to fight it, too.
Now, it seems like Trump gets that. He gets it's between right and wrong, good and evil.
I think he does. And look, you know, he's a developer, right? So he worked, most of his time was spent hanging out with these hard hats from Queens that are basically good old boys with weird accents, right?
Yeah.
And they eat bagels, maybe not biscuits, but they're good guys. But it's that brashness. And I get it. You know, I get it. And he is authentic. When he was down in Mobile, Alabama, campaigning on that first election cycle, he wasn't pulling a Mitt Romney saying, oh, I love eating grit. Okay, it's grits, and no, Southerners don't really eat that much grits. All right, come on now. So, but Trump, he goes down there, he's in that tie, you know, he's Trump,
right?
Because he's comfortable with who he is. He's in his own skin.
Yeah. Okay, so he comes in tonight. Are you involved in that?
No, but I think it's going to be an interesting speech. Nikki Haley was invited to attend and speak as well, and Joe Biden was too. Biden didn't even respond to the invitation, but Nikki Haley declined, and I think that is a bad move.
Right.
I really do. I think it was a missed opportunity.
Well, you and I in 2016, when we talked in New York, we both were saying, you know, it says a lot about Trump to come before, I think it was 1,000 of us evangelicals. He was a fish out of water in 2016, but he answered questions and he was up front.
I respected that. Can you imagine standing in front of 1,000 pastors and having to take hard questions? And I'm like, oh my goodness. That impressed me. And again, I pray for my president, and I'm one of these guys. Look, whoever gets the nomination is going to get my vote on the Republican side because they pretty much I line up with their belief system.
Right. Well, the book is called Twilight's Last Gleaming. Todd, how long did it take you to write that?
It took about 6 months to write that one. It was a pretty fast experience. I'm a procrastinator, and so I always wait till the last minute. So my publisher builds in like fake deadlines, knowing that I'm going to miss them. So, but I think I hit the actual deadline this time.
Do you enjoy writing?
I do, but I love the what happens afterwards. I love going out and meeting people and signing the books. But it's a lot of fun, and I hope people are inspired and encouraged. We need a lot of laughter, and I think this book is going to make people laugh.
Well, it's truth that's shared in a fun way, and so I encourage people to get the book. It's out on March 19th, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And the answer is yes, because Todd, as you said, you turned that phrase around, and go ahead and share that.
Yeah, America can be saved, but first we have to get Americans saved, and we've got to get back to the church house.
That's exactly right. And so that's the issue. Are you saved? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Todd, thank you for coming in today. And go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you. I'll be with you again tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.